Because it is week one of our Spark series. Last week, Shane introed it. He talked about our faith being ignited. But this is the first week where we're talking about the five sparks that will ignite your faith. And here they are, right here. The first one is useful lessons. It's scripture. It's sermons. And it's anything you hear coming out of this book. It's these lessons that empower us, that inspire us, that give us action to go and do things. The next one, private practices. That's like, you know, praying before a meal, praying before you go to bed, reading your Bible when you wake up in the morning. The little things that we do on our own privately when no one's looking. Those private practices. There's you being you. That's personal ministry. That's where you're at. I might not talk to your baseball team. I might not. You're going to talk to different people than the person next to you will talk to. It's also where you're serving. If you're helping out, holding babies on the weekend. If you're with some kindergartners in there, trying to wrestle them and, you know, keep them in line, not letting them run out. Maybe that's you. There's relationship goals. You know, that's like finding a bae. You know, no, I'm just kidding. That's not right. That's not what we're talking about. All right, it was not what we're talking about. Relationship goals, those are relationships that are crucial to your faith. Maybe it's a leader that you have. Maybe it's your fellow peers that without them, man, you wouldn't be where you are today in your faith. You wouldn't be as strong without your brothers and sisters. And that's what the relationships that are key to your faith. And then there's serious situations. Maybe God came out of a really hard situation in your life. Maybe there's a death in the family and it really made you wrestle and made you doubt, but God pulled you out of that. And it's these serious situations where the God will use to ignite your faith. And so this week we're talking about that first one. We're talking about useful lessons. And Shane's not here today, so you got me. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, you got me. Shane's in the adult service right now, so if you got time at 10:30, you can hop over there and just scream your head off whenever he comes on stage. You know, he's going to give you guys a shout out. You know, he's over there. It's his first time over there, so I'll be praying for him too. But yeah, we're talking about useful lessons today. And useful lessons that are a spark that will ignite your faith. And they don't just happen at church. Like maybe you're a third grader and your teacher gives this amazing presentation on space. Right? You see this space and you're in class and you're a little third grader and you're like, space, that's so cool. And you get so hyped because she's showing you all the planets and the stars and you're just sitting there like, this is crazy. So you go home and you Google, you know, space and planets and the universe and you get hyped because your teacher gave you this awesome presentation, gave you this lesson, gave you this information, and you just went and you ran with it. And as you got older, you know, it got more and more mature, and you started looking at colleges, and you're like, yo, I want to be a spaceman. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an engineer. And, you know, it can be little things like that. Or has anyone seen Up in this room? All right, Up. Not a lot of people like it. Some people dog on Up, but I love Up. All right, it's a good movie. All right. But that little kid, right, at the beginning of the movie, he goes and he sees that movie and he's like sitting there like, whoa. And you know, that guy's like, adventure is out there. And then like that little girl's like, adventure is out there. And he's so inspired by this information that he got that he was like, man, I want to be an explorer. And he dedicated the rest of his life to being an explorer because he was so inspired. This spark ignited something in his heart, this passion, and he just ran with it. He just ran with it. He loved the idea that I could be an explorer. And yeah, you know, some people don't like Up, but you know, Up's a good movie, all right? So, you know, get off. Up's great, okay? But it happens in our faith too. You know, there are some of you that at summer camp, maybe you heard a sermon, or maybe you were reading this Bible, or you heard some lyrics, and you were just, this spark was ignited in you. That your faith had begun because of a teaching that you heard or something that came out of this word got you super, super excited. And the Bible does that. You know, it has words that'll compel us. It shows us, you know, the things that are happening in our lives. And we look at this Bible almost like a mirror and it tells us, you know, what we're doing good at, what we're not doing good at, what, you know, the right way to live and all this good stuff. And that's what the Bible does. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at how can Scripture apply to our lives and how we can let that spark ignite a fire in our faith and in our lives. So what we're going to look at first is we're going to look at, you know, what these Scriptures are. So if you have a Bible, open them up to to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and we'll pass out some Bibles, or you can look over, scooch close to your neighbor, unless it's a boy or girl, and then you scooch away. But, you know, scooch and follow along, and we're going to read through this passage. 1 Timothy, it's in the back of the Bible. If you've hit Revelations, you've gone too far. Just back it up a little bit. You'll see some tea books or whatever, and it's in there somewhere. It's right in the back. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just peek on your neighbor, and we're gonna dig in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what they're saying is, this is a letter, kind of to put it in perspective, this is a letter from Shane to Dylan. This is a letter from a pastor to an intern, a dude who wants to do ministry, and a guy who's been doing ministry for a while. This book, this 1 and 2 Timothy, is a letter from basically Shane to Dylan. He's writing him, he's telling him all these great things to empower him to continue on his ministry and continue on in the church. And he's talking about the Scriptures. He's saying, continue in what you're doing, continue what you've learned. And he says in verse 16, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And what that means is every word in this Bible is from God. He empowered some men and empowered some women to put these words on these pages for everyone to read. And in that last verse, he says, so that he's given you a response. It's not just go and read it. He's saying, we give you this information, you know all this stuff, so that, this is the goal, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that we can take this, we can take these useful lessons, we can take what the Bible is saying and we can run with it. We don't just sit in church, we don't just read it, but we take it and we run with it. And that's what he's saying. And Jesus's brother had a similar thing to say. He was talking about this same idea about not just hearing it, not just, you know, digging deep in it, but actually going out and doing stuff with these useful lessons, letting that spark continue on and not just dying and burning out like the paper that Shane burned last week. So, if you could, we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 22. It's a flip to the left a few over. If you don't get there quick, it's okay. It's all right. I'll read it. Just tune in and listen in. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 22. The brother of Jesus, saying the same thing Jesus did. Do not merely listen to the word. Do not just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Simple as that. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. He gives this crazy, weird metaphor that doesn't really make sense. Because, I mean, how many of you, when you wake up in the morning, you go look at the mirror and you go, oh, I look fine. Like right when you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm good. I mean, maybe, you know, some of the guys in the room, you know, like I saw you at summer camp. You just hopped right out of bed and you were already started your day. Your clothes were on. I don't know what we were doing, but you were ready to go. But I mean, some of us, you know, we take a little bit longer, you know, we're in there. We're like, oh my gosh, what is that? And you're like, you know, up against the glass and, you know, it's all these things. Like, but what if we did that? What if we did go to a mirror and we looked at it and we're like, oh man, huh, what? And you just completely forgot, like next week, let's do it. Let's all just go look in the mirror once and then forget about it and show up at church and freak out Shane. You want to do that? You know, we all just show up, we're like, hey Shane, hey. Our hair's all over the place, hey Shane. He'd be so scared, he'd freak out and run in the other direction. No, but that's absolutely crazy. And that's what he's talking about with the Scriptures. We do this with the Scriptures. You know, we know what's right. We hear the word. You know, we hear it, and then we walk away. We go into Monday. We go into school. We go back to our regular lives. And we blank out. That's it. We just forget about it. And it reminds me of a story. A little story I'd like to share with you. So we're going to go and do a little segment I like to call Story Time with Dylan. All right? Story Time with Dylan. So tune in. Take a deep breath right now. Everybody breathe. The year was 1980. The United States of America was amidst the Cold War. It was a dark and scary time. It was really dark. It was really hard for a lot of people. Anytime you turned on the TV, you would see hostage situations happening in foreign countries. You'd see invasions. You'd see a lot of dark and scary things every time you turned on the TV. When you were at school, if you were in elementary school, you did a drill, kind of like a fire drill. But what you would do is you would get underneath your desk. You would train. Everybody would go, all right, everybody, you hear this alarm? Get underneath your desk and hide. Because they were hiding from a nuclear explosion. They were getting ready in case that would happen. Because that was in talks. The Soviet Union and the United States were in talks. They were just basically threatening each other the whole time. They were saying, hey, I have nuclear missiles ready to fire at you guys. And USA is like, well, we do too. And it was a scary, scary time. People were living on the edge. People had bunkers in their backyard. It was a dark time. There was not much happiness anytime you turned on the TV. Except for this one night. It's February 22nd, 1980. It was a simple sporting event. But it was much more than a sporting event. It was a chance for the people of America to maybe tune out of the world and tune into this one moment. It was a hockey game. And let me set the scene for you with this hockey game. You got the Soviet Union and the United States. The two countries that are at war with each other are going to face each other on the ice. So this game is a little bit of a rivalry, you could say. There's some tension before the game. But here's the teams, all right? You got the Soviet Union. They've been playing together for 15 years. They had won the Olympics the past 16 years. They were on a 48-game win streak. They were grown men, angry. They ate kids for breakfast. I'm just kidding, but you know what I mean. They were ruthless. They were Goliath, pretty much. And United States had no chance. These guys dominated the world of hockey. And then you got the United States boys team, you could call them. They were a bunch of college kids. They all came from different colleges, so they hadn't played together. They had only played together for 9 months. They were easily probably one of the biggest underdogs in sports history. They didn't like each other at first, and then there was this, you know, family chemistry. There's a movie on it. Maybe you could see it. But it was this tiny little boy hockey team, a little bit like me, maybe a little bit bigger. And I know, that's something. And they're against these, you know, it's like a team of Dylans. In a team of Brads, you know what I mean? Like, and like, I'm like, you know? That's the teams we're laying out for you. And it's February 22nd. These two teams are playing for a gold medal. And for bragging rights and for hopes and for happiness. And Soviet Union is the favorite. People in America know it. People in Soviet Union are probably not even watching because they know there's no chance. And so here's the scene. We're in the locker room right now. And you got some 20 to 22-year-old boys sitting in the locker room, taping up their hands. Some of them are praying. Everyone's hands shaking, hearts racing, blood pumping. You know, some guys are staring at themselves in a mirror. Some of them are just ready to pee their pants. They're scared, man. But they know that this game is more than just a hockey game. They know when they take the ice, it's not just about who scores the most. That doesn't really matter. It's who comes out there and gives a fight. And who comes and takes a victory. And so the guys are sitting there, awaiting in the locker room. Waiting for one more spark to ignite the passion and ignite the fury in their hockey game. And then the coach walks in.
great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The USA hockey team. No, I'll come. The USA hockey team, the 1980 USA hockey team, was ready. They were fueled. They knew their goal. They knew what they had to do. Their coach told them, we're the best hockey team in the world tonight. Out of 10 times, they might win 9, but not tonight. They knew what to do. So that hockey team was pumped. They were pounding their chests as a team. They got up together. They went out there. Millions watching at home awaiting this game. The crowd, it was a sold out crowd at Lake Placid. The crowd was hyped. It was in USA. This was their home ice. They were ready. That men's hockey team walked down that long hallway, walked right out the exit, got on the bus, went back to the Hilton, played on their Rubik's Cube, and went to bed. Didn't even take the ice. Soviet Union ended up taking the gold. And the men's team just folded. Didn't even take the ice. Now, we know that's not true. I don't know if you know that, but from history, that's not true. The USA team took the ice, played a hard 3 periods, went into the third period down 2-1, came back 3-2, and they went on to perform what is now called the Miracle on Ice. USA, USA. USA. Right? USA won. They beat the Soviet Union. That tough team that ate kids for breakfast. They went out there and they played with them. They skated with them. But what if they hadn't? Like, how ridiculous did that first scenario sound? Like, some of you were like, what? We did that? It's not true. It's not true. What? Is that true? It's not true, is it? It's not true. Is that true? Because that's ridiculous. That's so foolish. There's no way that happened. They obviously went out there and did their USA thing. And, you know, probably did some crazy work, you know, scored, then hit the whip, you know. And they were out there and they won. But what if they did do that first one? Now, I have a hard question for you. How many of us do that? You know, you're sitting there, you're like, chillin', I've never played in the 1980 USA hockey team in Lake Placid against the Soviet Union, 1-3-2. I've never done that. Yeah, but how many of us do this with our faith? We go to summer camp. We come to weekend services, and we get hyped. We're so ready to go home and change and be like, man, I'm going to stop cussing. Man, I'm going to stop gossiping. Oh, man, God changed me, man. I'm changed from the inside out. You know, my life's going to be different when I get back. But then you go, you get on the bus and you go straight home. You don't even take the ice. Some of us now are sitting in this room going, dang, that's me. Dang, man, I did get back from summer camp. And I, at summer camp, some crazy things happened. And, oh, man, that's me. And some of you, maybe it's a weekend service. Maybe Shane comes up here and he's yelling and he's preaching. And you're like, yeah, that's me. Man, I'm going to go tomorrow. Oh, things are going to be different. And all day Sunday, you're hyped. You know, you're reading your Bible before you go to bed. You wake up Monday and it's like nothing even happened. You didn't even take the ice. You didn't go out there and you didn't take the ice. And maybe that's an issue. It's an issue that I wrestle with. I'm like, why? How does that happen? Like, why do we do that as Christians? We do. We look like fools. Because, I mean, think about that. If the USA team did that, there would be riots. There would be some angry letters sent to those guys. There would be TP on those guys' house. Okay? Because they just folded? They just gave up? That's so weak. That's so foolish. No, you take the ice. And maybe their faith was in themselves. Like, maybe for us, our faith is in ourselves whenever we go to church and we go to summer camp. Maybe we're like, man, I'm going to change. I'm going to change, man. I'm going to be different. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to sit with that kid who's sitting alone at lunch and at church. I'm going to be that guy. I'm not just going to sit with my friends. That's going to be me. I'm going to start loving people. I'm going to do it. I got this. So our faith is in ourselves. And we think, oh, I can do it. I got this. I got this. Don't you hate when people say, I got this? And it's a little bit like something that Jesus taught on in Matthew 7. We're going to have it on the screens for you. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. It's this parable of the wise and foolish builder. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who takes the bus, whose house is built on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and it beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. So maybe we're standing on sand. We're standing on ourselves going, I got this. I got this. When if you notice in this story, both guys get a storm. Everybody in this room is going to face a storm someday. Everybody in this room is going to face hard times. That wind's going to come and you can avoid that big crash because the wise builder, obviously, what he did different was he built his house on that rock. He built his house on a stable foundation. He put his faith in Jesus. He put his faith in something that will never shake. That even when hard times come, he can stand there and go, no, I'm fine. And he didn't go, I got this. He went, I'm going to let God do this. You know, I'm going to come back with open hands and go, God, I'm going to stand here and you do whatever you want to me. And when we put these things into practice, when we actually take what this scripture says, what the Bible says, what we're preaching from every weekend, if we put that into practice, great things can happen. You can defeat the Soviet Union. You can go and you can be the underdog and just win because you have your foundation on that rock. When you put things into practice, great things can happen. And I didn't really believe that. I was a lot like that faith. You know, Ryan was my pastor, and he would always say things like, hey, I want to invite you into Monday. I want to invite you into Monday. And to me, I loved that, but I never got it. I never got it because I'd be like, yeah, Ryan, you're right. I'm going to go and change the world. I got this. And so I'd go out there, and Monday would come, and I'd be in my group of friends. Just back to my old ways. Nothing is different. And you got to know your faith does not happen in a locker room. It's easy to be a Christian here. it's easy to be a Christian at summer camp because, you know, that's easy. It's easy to be a Christian in a locker room, but that's not where your faith happens. And like I said, when you put these words, you put these preachings, you put all these things into practice, amazing things can happen. And like I said, I didn't believe that until 2 summers ago. Story time. It was 2013. Summer camp. Let me tell you about the summer camp, guys. Let me be real with you. This is the worst summer camp I've ever been to. It was awful. It was terrible. We weren't at Forest Home. We were at a college campus. Like, one of my friends took a nap during free time. That is how boring it was. The services were awful. It blew my mind. I was so mad, and I couldn't believe it. And I was sitting there during service. Oh, man. I was sitting there during service. This guy was preaching, and I was like, I gave him one of these. Because here's what he was preaching. It's all about the small things. Hey, it's all about those small things that you do in life. You can love somebody in a small way, and big things can happen. It's all about those small things, everybody. Can I get an amen? It's all about those small things. And I was like, I was sitting there like, okay. He's like, it's a little bit like this. Let me tell you something. Okay, it's a little bit like, let's say you're in a nursery, all right? And you're taking care of babies on a Sunday. I don't know why that accent came. You're taking care of babies on a Sunday. And then it's 2 minutes till the parents are coming to pick them up. It's 2 minutes. And you smell, oh, this poopy diaper. But you go, you think, you're like, man, I could just give it to the mom. She's going to be here soon. And then, you know, it's fine. It's her baby. Or you could be like, you know what? I'm going to do something small. I'm going to change this diaper before the mom comes. And you change the diaper and you throw the diaper up and the baby's all clean. Mom comes, gets a baby. Let's say mom comes, gets a baby, all right? She comes, gets a baby. She's like, oh, man, my baby's so great. Service was so great. Everything went great today. I love this place. And it was her first time. It was her first time. Wow, that's crazy. She's like, man, I'm going to invite my sister. Next weekend, she invites her sister. Her sister comes. She's like, I love this place. This place is great. I love the service. The music rocks. The service rocks. I love it. And then, oh, next week, wow, her son's in town. Oh, man, I'm going to invite my son to church next weekend. So the mom's sister's son comes to church 3 weekends later, and he comes to church. He loves it, man. He's like, man, this is great. This is great. I love this church. And so he loves it. And you know what? He's getting his degree at U of A. And yeah, I know. Let's pray for him. He's getting his nursing degree at U of A. Let's say he's getting his nursing degree at U of A. Wow, what a coincidence. And he goes, man, I love this church so much. I'm going to go to Africa and help sick people. So he goes to Africa and helps sick people. All because you changed a poopy diaper. Way to go. It's all about those small things. And I sat there. And inside in my head, I went, no! That's so dumb. And then he went on to talk about some other stuff like, hey, whenever you're about to go and do a big step of faith and you're about to do something for the kingdom, be sure to pray to God to overcome your fear and give you strength. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense, I guess. I'm just taking notes. I'm just kind of writing, hoping the service ends. And later we got to go to the beach. It was free time. That was the highlight of the camp. We got to go to Huntington Beach. Crazy cool place. Shops everywhere. Like, great tacos. They got everything there. And it's a beach. So it's a surfing beach, so it's pretty cool. So we were there. I was with my friend Josh and Jenna, and we were walking on the pier, and we saw this homeless man sitting on the left here, and we kind of did the American thing, teenager thing. We kind of just, we noticed him, and we just kept walking, and then I noticed that Josh and I were walking way ahead, and Jenna was way behind us, and she was doing one of these. And I mean, if you know women at all or girls, you know something's wrong. So I went up to her, and I've known Jenna for a long time, so I felt like I could read her pretty well. So I went up to her. I'm like, Jenna, you want to buy that guy lunch? She's like, yeah. So we're walking over towards him, and she's like, but Dylan, can you? She's like, Dylan, can you talk to him? Can you talk to him, please? And so Okay, side story. We're stepping away from the story real quick. When I was 5 years old, I was in downtown Phoenix. I was 5 years old, and this homeless man got my face, and my dad was already walking away, and I was so scared. He got my face, and he's like, hey, kid, you want change? And I'm like, no, and I got so scared. And ever since then, I've had a fear of homeless people. I know it's sad, it's weird, but listen, here we go. So I'm sitting there, and she's like, Dylan, will you talk to him? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm a guy. And I'm like, yeah, I got this, but can we pray? Can we pray real quick? Because that guy was in my head, you know, he said pray. And so I was like, all right, let's pray. So we prayed for it. I was like, God, give me strength. I hope that when I lift my head, he's gone. Let's pray. Just give me the strength. Let's do something for your kingdom. And God, I looked at him, he's still there. So we walked over and we went up to him. And his name was Isaac. And we took him to lunch, took him, got him a sandwich. And we got him a sandwich and we were eating with him. And he was eating. We had already eaten. Jenna got a sandwich, though. And so we were sitting there and he was eating and we were talking about his story and it was really sad. And I felt like he was a genuine guy. I could truly read that he was really genuine and he was saying stuff like, he's like, man, you guys have your whole lives ahead of you. You know, I'm just some dirty bum. You know, I don't have any, like my life is basically ruined. Like I have nothing to live for. And he's like, I can barely spell my own name. You know, I'm just, you know, people just walk by me all the time. And, you know, we were trying to, you know, tell him about Jesus and tell him that he's loved. And that we were thinking about him. We were praying for him. And it was really cool. And he, like, cut up some sandwich to take to his buddy. So he was a pretty nice guy. And then we were saying bye to him. And we were standing on a street corner. And the beach is that way. And up the road is that way. And we're standing right here. And you know, Jenna said something like, hey, you know, we're praying for you. We'll always be thinking about you, you know. He's like, you know, he had a tough guy face on, but you could tell that, you know, he probably just got money thrown at him a lot. No one wanted to actually take time to talk to him and buy him lunch. And so he was just like, yeah, thanks and everything. You too. And he just turned around and walked away really quick. And Jenna got pretty emotional, and she turned around and put her head down, faced that way. And he was walking that way, and I looked up at him, and I saw him wipe his hand across his face. And Jenna had her head down, and I put my arm around her, and I'm like, Jenna, man, I'm so proud of you. Like, we're at summer camp, and we're doing this. And, like God is, he's doing crazy things through you, and he's going to do crazy things through you. And I was like, thanks for doing this. And she's like, she opened her eyes, and she reached on the ground. She picked something up, a piece of trash, and it was one of those stickers that goes on a shirt, like right there, like when you get it, and it had an S, 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 S. And she looked at me, and she's like, it's all about the small things. And I felt like in that moment, like, God kind of winked at us. He kind of went like, it's true. And in that moment, like, you know, like chills went in my body. I wanted to fall down. Like, I was just like, I was so, my mind was blown. Like God was winking at us. He was saying, hey, if you put this stuff into practice, if you do what these preachers are speaking out of this book, if you go and do these things, great things will happen. When you go out and you actually take the ice, great things will happen. And for some of us, we're either scared or we just don't care, because in that James translation, that idea of you see yourself and you forget, that's like neglecting and not caring. That's another translation for that word. That's going, I see it, but I don't care. Because some of us are like that in this room. We don't care. You know, on Monday comes and we're just like back to normal. But for some of us, like, we need to take this message, this spark, and let it burn inside of us. This spark of a useful message that comes from these scriptures, that comes from the Bible. I was headed to the Grand Canyon on Thursday, too, and this is real quick. But I saw a sign on the side of the road, and it said, one less spark, one less wildfire. The idea that one little spark could cause for miles and miles and miles a wildfire, a dangerous, loud, huge fire that is, you know, irresistible. You can't help but to see it. You can see it from a long way off. And that's what our faith could be with this spark. With this spark, any of these sparks, is that it could turn into something big as a wildfire if we let it. If we actually put these things into practice, and we build our foundation on a rock. Because that is what the wise builder does. That is what Jesus taught. And if you're a non-believer in this room, if you're just here because mom dragged you, or you're only here, maybe a friend brought you or something, like, what we'd say to you is keep coming back. Because with these sparks, amazing things can happen. And with all these relationships that we're going to talk about, the situations, the useful lessons, all these sparks can start a wildfire, maybe in Gilbert. Not obviously not a real one, but in Gilbert and in Mesa, to where people are going to go, man, what's up with those Anthem kids? Man, what is up with those kids from Anthem? Because for you students who are Christians, who declare Jesus as Lord, you know this stuff. And you know it's hard to start on Monday and to be diving into this word. But we would say, this is your time. You were made for this. You were the greatest hockey players in the world. And so what I'd say to you is commit to getting deep in the word, because your faith doesn't happen in the locker room. It's easy to be a Christian in this room. It's easy to raise your hand during worship in this room and at summer camp. But can your lives raise your hand to Jesus at school, at the mall, with your group of friends? Will that happen? Will we let the spark grow? Will we let Jesus change us and let that spark ignite so that others can't help but to feel it and to know about it? And that's the message today, is your faith does not happen in a locker room. Take these useful lessons from Scripture and apply them to your life. Take what you know and turn it into something that you do. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Anthem. I thank you for all these students who are here. They may not know it, but you put them here for a reason. And God, I pray that they would use what they learn here every weekend and what they learn from your word, and they would go do something great with it. They wouldn't just sit on it or just let it be meaningless words. I thank you that you gave us your word. It's in your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.